welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bounds. On today's show, I'm joined by the music journalist and regular voice to our listeners, Laura Snapes, who's going to talk us through three upcoming releases by Jens Lechman, Muna, and Megabog. Maybe in that order, maybe not. Welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
lovely to have you here. Getting through it in radio professional style. With some drugs. Well, I should say cold and flu drugs.
Some Sudafed. I took some yesterday and instantly did a lot of tidying that has been foxing me for a long time. My office is spotless.
Okay, that's good to know. I think I should be investing in some of these. Pills or potions or what?
Pills, yeah. For all the chores you don't want to do, suddenly they go by. I was dizzy by the end. I had done everything so fast.
If only any of your three musical choices can make you as vibrant and chipper.
Well, I have been writing about that Muna record this morning, and I will say it's been a tonic. So I could recommend it if you're feeling a bit under the weather.
Well, we're saving that one for last, actually. That was a lovely record. Thank you for drawing my attention to that. But we're going to start with Jens Lechman, a man who apparently was suffering from writer's block. Maybe he needed some Sudafed.
He turned in a record to his label in 2014, but they all said, actually, this isn't really very good. It's not your best work. We don't really believe in it. We need you to go away and make something else. And that was a moment which was kind of at once demoralising for him, but also confirmed to him everything he had suspected. I was interviewing him last week, and he actually said that he wondered whether at that point he was trying to sabotage his own career, which is quite a dark kind of motive for somebody this far into it.
Yeah.
But he went away and he did a couple of projects that really refreshed himself. He did something called ghostwriting, where... So he writes songs which are very much in like a story kind of narrative vein. And I think it was a museum in Sweden and one in Cincinnati in Ohio. They came to him and said, would you like to do a project where you interview people and you hear their stories and then you write a song about it? So he did that in both these cities and he found that really rejuvenating. And he also did a project called Postcards in 2015 where he wrote one new song a week and he put it on the internet no matter what it sounded like. And some of them were quite finished, but some of them were very scrappy, kind of recorded in a bathroom on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And I think both those things kind of helped blow out the cobwebs and make him feel a bit less precious.
Good for him and good for taking the bull by the horns, mm-hmm. right? The old black dog of writer's block.
Yeah,
it's rare to, I suppose, be so constructive about something. So you've chosen a cut of Evening Prayer from mm-hmm. their record called Life Will See You Now. It's a good one. It's a good album title. This is Jens Lechman. I would pray that I could stop the pain when the pain needed more than ibuprofen. I would pray that I could take away your worries ran deeper than the West Pacific Ocean. He puts the tumor on our table, says, so this is what caused all my fears. It's been a long, hard year for a friend who's not sure if he's close enough to be allowed to care or just be there to include you in his evening prayer. All right, so that's Jens Lechman. That's called Evening Prayer, and it is from the LP called Life Will See You Now. It's out at the end of this week, as recommended by Laura Snapes. Some sort of classic, sort of Scandi, God-given melody there. Right?
Yes. Well, sampling has always been his thing, but on his last album, I Know What Love Isn't, he didn't do it. He wanted to write all of the music himself. When I was interviewing him, I was saying, you know, you could tell maybe there was something fearful going on there, because the record before had been so big. Mm. He was kind of pulling back from... you know, trying to do something completely different, so it couldn't really be compared. But I'm really pleased that on this album he's let the samples back in. It's a lot more kind of colourful. It's like all the colours of the rainbow on this one. And he's really good at balancing cheese and exuberance, but also making something quite touching at the same time, I think.
Yes, and a man, he's a wonderful songwriter, a wonderful lyricist, I suppose, as well as a songwriter. Yeah. I mean, that song itself, having listened to that earlier, that's a kind of an ode to a tumour which has been removed, and he's suddenly kind of like, do you know what? I feel fine now, everything's great. I feel
He goes to meet his friend who's been having cancer treatment, and the friend has got a 3D model of the tumour, and he gets it out and puts it on the table. And I think the song is kind of about how when you like disassociate yourself from your fears, when you can kind of like touch them in something tangible, it makes them a lot less scary. So it's at once whimsical and funny, but also quite serious.
I was going to say, yeah, and a rare thing for such a jaunty tune to be written to go with the song of that's on that subject, I suppose. Good old Jens Lechman. So he's back and forth. I mean, he's always been there and thereabouts, but I suppose getting a strict telling off from your record label is maybe it happens, but we don't know about it. But...
Yeah, totally, yeah. And I think, although it sounds kind of galling, I think that's sometimes what you want when you do something that's like a bit creative and a bit undefined when you don't necessarily have have fixed outcomes for what you're meant to be doing. I would love somebody to tell me I'm doing it all wrong. That's not an invitation to tweet at me and tell me that. But, you know, just to get a bit of pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. It's healthy. Well done, Jens. So where are we going next? We're going to Megabog, a band I've heard of. Is it a band or is it a solo
artist? It is a band. I mean, I think there's only one fixed member. She's called Erin Burgee.
Yeah.
And they were based in Seattle, but now she's based in New York, so I don't know if that has meant an entire kind of change in personnel. But I think she was a big fixture in the Seattle DIY scene for a long time. She used to run a record label, which I think was called Wizards of the Ghost, which is on Bandcamp and has a lot of releases if you want to look into that. Dive deep into the bog. And this is her second proper album. The first one was called Gone Banana, which is great. And this one's called Happy Together. And when I heard it, I can kind of pinpoint the ingredients of it, but I've never heard anything that sounds like this altogether. It's got this great kind of weird, jazzy slipperiness to it that I think is just great.
It's an odd thing. Well, here's a cut from it. It's called London.
They will be waiting for you at the junction with a light orange.
That is Megabog. That song is called London, and it's from an LP out now, my notes tell me, called Happy Together. Yes, there's something elusive and strange and faded out, but nonetheless very charming about that.
Yeah, I don't know what it's got to do with London. It kind of reminds me of if it's a bit like Nico and Laurie Anderson, and when you listen to the lyrics, she's taking you on this weird tour. It's like a David Attenborough thing or something like that. And usually I do have a real problem with dream pop, but it's anything that's a bit kind of ethereal and shapeless. But I think there's enough mysticism and weirdness and like tangible, I don't know, she's got really her own identity, and that really keeps me interested.
Yes, it's interesting stuff. You're right. Yes, there is definitely Laurie Anderson in there, and there is something post-punk about it. There's something a bit of Prince Horn dance school in there somehow, and the sort of strangeness of it, the kind of really weirdly unmusical nature of it, yet it's beguiling stuff at the same time.
Yeah, totally. It reminds me of like when dub met punk. It's like it kind of exists in the weird echo that comes off those two sounds.
Yeah, it's good stuff. What do we know about Erin Burgee then, other than that she's kind of, she flits around, she writes songs about where she's not from, and she lives in a place that she's not from either.
Well, she's from the rural Midwest, maybe Idaho or something like that. And I think she grew up with just her mum, and they lived in a very rural place, and they would like ride a horse to town. I only know this because I was interviewing her the other day.
This is good.
And then she left when she was like 17 or 18. She decided she would go to Seattle, and she got really into the DIY scene there. And I mean, that's all I really know about her. She spent a lot of time...
No, that's good. Riding a horse into the shops.
It's a good image,
your mum.
Right?
Come on, thank you for coming in and dispensing just that one fact for us. Who knows where we're going next? In fact, to dinner we're going next.
And
anyway.
She had the HBO series Vinyl, which I don't know was terribly well received. Mm. She has a cameo playing Mo Tucker in The Velvet Underground, which I thought was interesting.
Pretty good stuff. Okay.
That's all my trivia.
And Laura Snapes has been writing Megabog's Wikipedia page for the last 2 years. Thank you very much. So that's Megabog. The album is called Happy Together. It is out now. Next, last, finally, maybe we've saved the best for last, Moona. What a brilliant single this is. I don't know about the rest of the LP. Tell us about the band, what they do, what they stand for, and how this song is so good.
I wish I knew how it was so good. That's the subtext of any question I ever ask a musician. How are you so good? And how
do you
do
that?
Why are
you so good?
Yeah. Moona are three young women from LA. They met at university. They're not related. They're just friends. They met there. And I think they're all openly gay or queer. I think they identify as. And when they met, they decided they were going to make pop music. Two of them were kind of from more of an indie background. But Katie, who's the singer, said, I like pop. Deal with it. This is what we're going to make.
Right, okay.
It's interesting. They've kind of, I think, grown up against a period of activism like Occupy and Black Lives Matter and things, and they've also grown up against a period where pop stars have been trying to become more political. Black pop stars have really pulled it off, integrating politics and kind of playfulness in what they're doing. But I think white pop stars have really kind of made a bit of a hash of it. You either get this like empty empowerment pop, which like Sia and Katy Perry do, no matter how good those songs are, there's not much substance there. Or maybe you get people like Macklemore and Taylor Swift who are trying to do the right thing, but kind of slipping up and putting their foot in it all over the shop.
Yeah.
So I think these guys have been quite careful careful students of how you say something in pop and wanting to do it in a way that is respectful and inclusive. And a lot of times that make it sound like it might be quite boring hedge-betting music, but I think actually they've really succeeded in what they want to do. It's exuberant and it's inclusive and they're actually saying something. They're not just kind of vanquishing some faceless other. They're really pointing at, I know, you know, the forces that can oppress you as a queer person or as a woman or as a person of colour. I think one of the band members is a person of colour. And so this song, I Know a Place, originally they wrote it, I think, in 2015 to celebrate gay marriage being legalised in America, but it didn't come out until later last year. And when it came out last year, they dedicated it to the victims of the Pulse shooting in Florida, because it's about gay clubs as like safe spaces and as havens where you can kind of go and engage with the superficial and be yourself and drop your guard. But I think it's such a wonderful song. I mean, songs about kind of the liberating feel of the dance floor, there's a lot of them, but I think they've really done something new with it.
Well, hear. Let's hear the track. It's a wonderful piece of work, albeit with that amazing backstory as well. It's Moona, and it's called I Know a Place. If you want to go. Powerful stuff. I Know a Place from Moona, from a new album called About You. Yeah, that's just amazing. We could listen to that till the cows come home, right? It's so good.
The whole album is great. I think there's kind of very clear parallels between them and Haim, another kind of LA trio. But I think where Haim do kind of the breezier, glossier Fleetwood Mac thing, kind of Mirage and Tango in the Night era, I think Moona are more like Depeche Mode and New Order and Cyndi Lauper, that kind of slightly grittier side of LA synths, of 80s synths.
It's great stuff. I think they're actually on our Monocle 24 playlist as well. Thank you, Laura, for leading us through Moona, through Megabog, and also through Jens Lechman at the beginning. That brings us to the end of today's Arts Review with Laura Snapes, brought to you somehow in association with Sudafed. Apparently, if you want to tidy up your office, that's the thing to take. I'm getting a nod across the studio desk here. Thank you to our team behind the glass. Thank you to Fernando Augusto Pacheco, who produced this show. And join us again at the same time tomorrow for our theatre chat with Dominic Maxwell. But for the time being, I've been Robert Pound, and thanks for tuning in.